This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
There's nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TFU and Mike. Joining me once again, almost as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Yellow.
We are back. This is episode 81 of Studio 2009. We are 19, well, including this episode, we are 19 episodes away from 100 episodes of this podcast. It's only taken us 4 years to do it because we launched this back in 2020. And episode 81 was going to be something completely different. And that kind of fell through. So I decided to create a whole new series for the podcast. The movie box office, 40 years apart. Technically, it doesn't have to be 40 years. I'll go into that here in a moment. But basically, we're going to be talking about looking at the U.S. film box office. So this is just domestic box office gross. This is not worldwide or anything like that. Top and then top 10 grossing films over various decades in future episodes. For example, today is 1981 versus 2021, which is 40 years apart, etc., etc., etc. It could be anywhere from 10 to 50 years only on the zeros. 10, 20, 30, 40, blah, blah, blah. No fives, no nothing. Next time we might do 1986 versus 2016, a 30-year difference, and so on and so forth. We are also going to look at the entire year of films for 1981 and 2021, and we have each picked out our personal top five number one grossing films from each of the years. This will make a top 10 list, and we can only pick film. We can only pick films that we have seen, but I was 1 year old in 81, and he wasn't even born yet. I don't even think he was a glint in his mother's eye yet. So that's going to be a caveat with this one. I have one out of my five films that I have never seen. So, and he's only listing three films, so technically it's a top eight. Well, whatever. Doesn't matter. So, Steve, are you ready to break open the box office?
I am ready to break open the box office, but before we get into that,
yes.
What prompted the idea? Since this is like the start of a new like mini series here.
Yeah, well, what prompted it was I wanted it again. I've just like with the Pullbag and some of the other shows and some of the other quote unquote GCR and Origins that I do all the time with the 30 questions and all that, whatever. I wanted to find a way to discuss movies that wasn't just us having to watch a movie and then review it and rate it. And like, I love when we do that. We've been doing that for God, almost 15 years now. It's fine. It's great. But I needed something new and different, and I figured, oh, let's look at this. And I was looking at one of the reasons why was because in 1981, Superman II came out, directed by Richard Lester. The Richard Donner cut would not be out until almost 30 or so years later in 2006. So originally, episode 81, because Superman II released in 1981, was going to be myself and David Draper discussing the music of Superman II, not necessarily the movie itself, because we did that on a different podcast about 15, 16 years ago, whenever the hell that was, Walking on the M-Wire. So that's what the genesis was. And I was like, 1981, what's a good time gap between 81 and what, 21? Okay, so that's 40 years. That's easy. That's fine. That's fun. And just to look at it and see how different the Hollywood box office landscape was over 40 years. So, yeah.
And this is awesome. Because we get to cover a variety of different movies.
I'll ask again, are you ready to break open the box office?
Yes.
So we've got four different sections to this script. The first two sections are us basically talking about how different each of the year's box offices were. So we will list the 10 highest grossing films from 81 and then the 10 highest grossing films from 2021. And then sections 3 and 4 are us picking our personal lists of the movies that we either have seen or have heard of or whatever kind of thing, as far as out of the entire number one movies from each of those years. So it's two different types of discussions here. First up, 1981's U.S. movie box office, the top 10. Number one was Raiders of the Lost Ark, coming in domestic gross $212,222,025. And then number 10, which is Time Bandits, which I don't remember at all, came in at $42,365,581. Number two was On Golden Pond. Number three was Superman 2. Number four was Arthur. Number five was Stripes. Number six was The Cannonball Run. Number seven was Chariots of Fire. Number eight was For Your Eyes Only, which is a James Bond film. Number nine was The Four Seasons. And as I said, number 10 was Time Bandits. Also part of this discussion, Steve doesn't know this, but it should be pretty self-evident, discussing the difference between 1981 and 2021, look at the studios. And I will post these screen caps I have of the Wikipedia articles in the website post on geekcastradio.com, folks, so you can see this. But look at the distributors in 81. Paramount, Universal, Warner Brothers, Columbia, 20th Century Fox, Warner Brothers, United Artists, Universal, and Embassy. Embassy is the only distributor that I had never heard of.
I've never heard of them either.
So then you get to 2021, you got Sony Pictures, Bona, Lee & Ray, MGM Universal, Universal, Wanda, Sony Pictures, Warner Brothers / Toho, because it was Godzilla, Disney, and Universal. Pretty much Disney and Warner Brothers owns all the other things outside of Sony, I think, at this point. And maybe MGM Universal or did Disney, but I don't remember what Disney owns now anymore. But look at that, just... Again, the vastness of the changes 40 years took on the movie box office. That's crazy.
There's all kinds of stuff. I mean, so many of these films I'm unfamiliar with, surprisingly. Well, at least with the top ones. So for instance, like some of the highest grossing films I've heard of or seen, like Stripes or things like that.
Yeah, I don't remember Time Bandits, and I don't remember Four Seasons. Those are the only two in 81 that I don't remember. The rest of them I remember. I probably saw Chariots of Fire and Cannonball Run, but it's been a long ass time. And the funny thing is, and this is actually going to come up later, one of the reasons why when we get later in the podcast, folks, where a certain choice is not on my list because I have not seen it yet as of this recording. When we get down to episode 84 of the podcast, my buddy Dave Draper, who is doing 12 months of Star Wars with me, because he was shocked and dismayed that I have only ever seen Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. I refuse to watch Temple of Doom. I've refused to watch Temple of Doom since I was a kid. But Raiders just was never on my radar. I've always heard about it. I know all the pop culture references. I know this, I know that, and everything else. But yeah, so episode 84, we're going to do Raiders of the Lost World. We're going to do a double feature, Raiders of the Lost Ark and Jurassic Park Lost World. Because he's like, oh, we got to do the sequel. And I'm like, oh, God, I didn't like the first movie all that much. I used to love dinosaurs, but yeah, anyway. Yeah, Raiders took the king of the box office in 81, and then it was all about superheroes in 2021 with Spider-Man No Way Home coming in at $1,912,233,593. Holy crap, that's a long number.
It's almost $2 billion.
It's damn close to $2 billion. If they had hit the $2 billion, I can imagine every single Sony ad, biggest movie in the world, $2 billion. It's crazy. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on either of the 81 or the 21 list for the top 10?
I mean, I definitely resonate with a lot more of the stuff that's out in 2021 versus...
81?
Yeah, 81. 81, it was a lot more difficult for me to pick something.
Yeah, I think for me that what it goes back to what I've been saying for the last couple of years. The 80s was a renaissance, and the 80s was something new, something different all the time to get you, like, okay, we've got James Bond with For Your Eyes Only at number 8. James Bond had been around almost 20 years at that point because Dr. No was 1962. So we got that. We got Superman 2. Okay, Superman the movie debuted in 78. That's fine. 78 to 81, that's a little longer than a two. There's a 3-year gap, not a 2-year gap between original and sequel. Fine. And then we have all these other things that are just single. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay, technically in the future it wasn't. It's just a single movie because there were 3 other films. No, I'm not missaying that because those other 2 don't count. On Golden Pond was its own thing. Arthur, thank God Arthur didn't have a sequel. I remember Arthur. Oh boy, I love Dudley Moore, but damn. Stripes was a self-contained movie and all that and everything else. And then 2021, you got Spider-Man No Way Home, 3rd movie in that franchise. You get No Time to Die, which is another James Bond film 40 years later. F9, which is another Fast and Furious movie. My biggest thing about this top 10 grossing is how in the hell did Venom, Let There Be Carnage, and Shang-Chi or whatever the hell, how you're supposed to say it, and The Legend of the Ten Rings get into the top 10 most grossing movies? Like, yikes. Like, Legend of the Ten Rings made $432 million, and then Venom made $506 million. How? And Godzilla vs. Kong is in between them at $470 million. I'm like, shouldn't Godzilla vs. Kong be, like, right under F9 or something? Like, wouldn't that have made more money than crappy Sony superhero stuff? Oh, God. Yeah, so I don't understand that at all. Any other thoughts before we give our own lists?
Aside from my thoughts of which ones belong in this list, you can definitely see the blockbuster amounts.
Oh, yeah.
Being totally different. Not only due to inflation, but just due to the sheer amount of money being poured into some of these.
I mean, so the lowest, so like I said, the just there's only in 81 there was only 3 6-digit blockbusters. Raiders on Golden Pond and Superman 2. Everything else is low.
It kind of tracks.
No, I know, but what
I'm saying, as far as action films and things like that, they track, but it seems like they just bank now.
Yeah, that's my point, is that you have, in 1981, the top 3 Raiders, like I said, on Golden Pond and Superman 2, they are all 6-figure films for their domestic gross. You look at 2021, and there isn't a film on the 2021 top 10 that is below 6 figures. The lowest is Sing 2 at $408 million. Like, holy crap. And I'm not even counting the inflations. Like, I'm not, like, Time Bandits, $42,365,581 in 1981. Okay, that's what it was then. Sure, fine, great. Same thing with Raiders, $212 million. Okay, fine, great. You look at Spider-Man, $1,912,000,000. And then you look at something like Fast and Furious 9, $726 million. It's like, there's no... And like you said, it's a thing of Hollywood putting more budget into the movies. It's a more of a spectacle thing. And the strange correlation to all of this is that there were... Even though the Bond films are kind of... Each film is its own thing. I don't really see, like, from Dr. No to For Your Eyes Only, I don't see the preceding Bond films over the last 9 years from 62 to 81. I don't see them all as sequels to each other because they're all different. So, but you look at 81, you get the start of the Indiana Jones saga, sequel to Superman, and that's pretty much it. Everything else is original, you know, single plot film type stuff. You get to 2021, Spider-Man No Way Home is the third in a trilogy. No Time to Die, okay, again, it's another Bond movie 50 years later or 60 or however many years later. So, it's, again, not technically a sequel. But then you got F9, which is the ninth in that franchise, so that's a sequel. Venom, Let There Be Carnage was the second Venom movie. Godzilla versus... Was there something... I know we have Godzilla Minus One now, but was there something... I mean, I know Godzilla and Kong and all that and everything else have been a thing beforehand, but I don't remember... And then Sing 2, like, it still boggles my mind how Sing 2 got in the top 10 grossing movies of 2021. I don't know.
It's probably because it was the only hit-ish movie.
Yeah, true. Very true, very true.
I mean, the rest of them are all action films or sequels of something.
Yep, absolutely. Alright, folks, now we are going to give our own personal lists of the number one films from 81. We will give our entire list, we will discuss, and then, because I'm pretty sure he didn't pick the same movies I picked and vice versa. He's seen my picks, I haven't seen his yet, but it is what it is. What would be your top five from 81, sir?
My top five would be Raiders of the Lost Ark, Superman 2, 9 to 5.
Okay, so you're only picking three. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Superman 2 is the only crossover.
If I had to throw some other ones in there, it would probably... Like, I would probably put... Because I can't list the Star Wars reissues, for obvious reasons. It would be... And I've seen these movies. I don't care for them, but I've seen them.
Yeah.
Would be like the Friday the 13th part 2 and like Halloween 2, but
yeah, like
I mean, I just
barely remember those. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I barely remember them, but I mean, I don't like horror films at all, but I do know that those series had continued on in prominence for decades.
The same thing, like my mom showed me all kinds of horror movies as a kid and everything else. I remember seeing, I think, the first Friday the 13th movie. I don't know if I ever saw any of the sequels, but horror, like you, just isn't my thing. So the only copies we have is Superman 2 and 9 to 5. And it's been years since I've seen 9 to 5, but I remember that movie. It just goes to show you how different the movies were 40 years ago compared to 2021. Superman 2, I put a note next to mine. The Lester cut, because at the time, like I said, the Lester cut was the only cut because it was the only part of the film, etc., etc. And I like the original theatrical Superman 2. I don't dislike it. I don't, you know... It's a good movie. It's an interesting movie. It's, you know, it's the first time we're seeing the beings from Krypton and all that and everything else. Arthur was just funny. So Arthur is my third pick. Arthur was just funny and weird. And it's a thing where I might actually go back and rewatch that to do an episode on it to see how, not necessarily because I don't believe in, how well it stands up the test of whatever. But I was reading through that plot synopsis, and I'm like, I remember this movie. I remember watching this movie. I don't remember understanding the damn thing as a 4 or 5 year old, 6 year old in 86, 87. But I remember seeing it because back then comedies were the thing. And that's one of those comedies. Excalibur, again, I remember it. I remember watching it. What surprised me about Excalibur is who's in it. Like, oh my god, that surprised me the most. Because, dang. Okay, so I'm sure everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice knows this by now, but Excalibur is basically a King Arthur story. It's one of the original King Arthur stories, but the cast in this... You got Helen Mirren as Morgan Le Fay. You've got Patrick Stewart as King Lodengrantz. You got a name I didn't think I was going to see this early in his career. Liam Neeson as Sir Gawain. Or Gawain. Yeah, as soon as I saw Liam's name there, I'm like, wait a minute, what? That was just crazy to me. And then my fifth and final pick is, again, something I want to look into. I might actually put it... I might do a Versus episode where I put it up against Arthur, because Neighbors is just weird. I've never seen it, but I've read through the plot synopsis, and it kind of has me interested to see what it was all about. But it's definitely a movie of its time. Basically, it's an American 81 American black comedy film based on the novel of the same name by Thomas Berger, released through Columbia Pictures, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it looks to be interesting. But again, folks, when we do these in the future, I'm sure we will have more films that we've seen in the year that's so far back in the past than right now. But, yeah, it just, like I said, at the beginning, the genesis of this was just seeing how different the landscape was. So going into our 2021 picks for our favorite number one films, what is your five films?
So some of these are going to be the same as yours. My number one is Free Guy. For obvious reasons, I really enjoy this film, and it's one that I can watch over and over and over and not get tired of.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man No Way Home, I enjoy for the sheer fact that it brings back people from the Raimi-verse.
Yep.
Spider-Man, all of his villains that had previously died. But I really like having Tobey Spider-Man return, just because mm-hmm. that was the first superhero film I saw in theater. So it still resonates with me to this day, and I actually managed to find this Tobey Maguire Spider-Man figure.
Nice.
At retail, no less.
Yay!
I found one, and I picked it up because I always wanted one when the movie came out and never did find one. So being able to finally have that one, it was one of those like bucket list kind of characters that I was like, I gotta get this. I gotta get my hands on this if I ever find it. And I sure enough found it. So I was pretty happy about that. And I like the film just because you get all three Spider-Men interacting and you get that fun scene where they're pointing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the symmetry between the three, like they played really well off each other. And so
yeah, they did.
It fit really well. Then I have Jungle Cruise. As much as I don't care for like a lot of the movies that have, Rock.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this film for what it was, and being able to see him play something different. Like, he plays a character that's basically undead or curse, and yeah. So it was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed that film. And then of course we get to Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I felt like it did a good job of reinvigorating the franchise.
Yeah.
At least somewhat. I mean, I don't know if it necessarily needed another film, either the one for Afterlife or the current one that we just got, but regardless of what anybody thinks, it was a good film. And then seeing the way that they tastefully brought back
Harold Ramis
at the end was just wonderful. So, and then I put Black Widow, just because it was nice to see Scarlett Johansson come back with the character, and I didn't mind the movie, and it was entertaining for what it was. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was better than some of the other options that I had available. So
what's interesting about Black Widow is that it takes place during the blip. That's what was interesting to me about that film. For my list, it's almost the same as his, folks. Three of them are the same. Four of them are the same out of the five. Free Guy, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Spider-Man No Way Home, Black Widow. I already talked about Black Widow just now. Yeah, Spider-Man No Way Home, I think it's the best one out of the Holland trilogy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, because, I don't know, Homecoming was okay, and we've got a whole episode thing where we did all these movies at some point earlier in Studio 2009's career here. Ghostbusters Afterlife, I like that they honored the past, but also passed the torch and were like, okay, we're on this new path, and companies and what are they going to do? They're going to merchandise. And what do they merchandise? They merchandise the mini marshmallows because they're everywhere. I've got a Funko Pop of the one with headphones on around here somewhere. But I thought that was hilarious because I thought all those commercials were hilarious. But the movie itself was really good. I'm interested in seeing Frozen Empire only because everyone's like, finally they acknowledge Extreme Ghostbusters. I'm like, okay, well, thanks for the spoiler. It's not really a spoiler and I don't really care, but because by the time I see Frozen Empire, I will have forgotten about that. Free Guy. It's... I really wanted it to be a one and done, but I know they're going to do a sequel. You've told me that they're going to do a sequel at some point, but I did really like it, and I thought it was hilarious. So there's that. And then Fast 9, I still think they should have left it and let it be done with 7, because 7 was the film that basically homaged Paul Walker and his passing and everything else. There's nothing wrong with F8, and F9 just added a whole new wrinkle in FX or F10 or whatever, but F9 was alright. I gotta go back and watch it again, but I like the action, and I've always liked the action in the Fast and the Furious films, but I don't know. Adding John Cena in there as his long lost I don't know. I gotta go back and watch that one. So, but yeah, those are our picks from 81 to 2021. In the future, I don't know what years we're gonna cover. I don't know if it's gonna be Steve and I or if it's gonna be me and somebody else doing it, but I like the format that I came up with. I like that we're able to talk about, again, the main thing of this is just how different the movie landscape was over X number of years. And from 81 to 2021 is vastly different.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like we said, 2021 is either sequels and franchises with a few, maybe one or two, you know, single film type things in there, and obviously 81 was almost all original films with, I think, like I said, what, two or three that's a sequel kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know when we're going to do another one of these ones. I know next episode I think I'm doing Need for Speed with my buddy Sean, because the 2014 Need for Speed film, it's been 10 years since that got released, and I've been waiting to talk about that with him, so I don't know if that's going to happen or not next episode, so a next episode could be something else. Any final thoughts on the overall topic before I send it to an ad break, sir?
No, I think it's interesting to see what comes out so far in different time spans, like, just... It's crazy to see what was big back then compared to what's big now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's crazy to me, the money then versus the money now. Like I said, you've got, out of 10 films in 81, you only have 3 that are 6-digit movies for box office. Whereas in 2021, all 9 of the 10 are 6-digit movies, and then obviously Spider-Man No Way Home breaks the bank at $1 million.
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yes.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Yes, also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about the New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin, that's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon. I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors. Come out to play, yay!
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Markham 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Markham 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Do you know John Hyatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf. Or in your cowhorned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
and we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good podcast. Have a little faith.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download this show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hi, welcome to Up Nerd. What is Up Nerd? Up Nerd is a podcasting network of shows hosted by me, The Uneven Flow. People have told me I like to talk at them about a pretty wide range of topics, comics, games, movies, books, whatever, and now I'll be able to talk at you. Along with the weekly show will be two bi-weekly shows. First we have Fine You Pick, a show where one host picks a movie, then both hosts have to watch it. Then the next episode, the other host picks the movie. Each show will have a breakdown of why it is that movie was picked by that host, after which will be a discussion about what it is we just watched. Lastly, we have the show Top 3, Bottom 3. Similarly to Fine You Pick, one host picks a television series, and the next week, the pick alternates to the other host. Here, the episodes of the show are chosen by the top 3 episodes and the bottom 3 episodes, as rated on IMDb.com. Yes, this is probably the worst way to watch and review a television show, and yes, that's the idea. On our shows, I'll detail out how you can suggest things for us to watch, you can reach out and talk with the hosts, and maybe even appear on an episode. I hope you'll join me for this exciting new podcast adventure. I swear, we're going to make it more than 8 episodes.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for us here in Size 2 2009. Any overall final thoughts, sir, before I run through the closing?
No, just kind of looking forward to seeing where we go next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to, when we do these things, I don't know, like I said, it's anywhere from 10 to 50 years. So I figured 10 years was long enough, 50 years is might be a little too long, but we don't have to do that. But like 20 years, 30 years, kind of like I said, 1986 to 2016. A lot of things happened in 86. A lot of things happened in 2016. That kind of thing. As long as it's a 10-year span or a 20-year span, it doesn't matter if it's 1987, 2017, it doesn't, 2007, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just seeing how different the box offices were over time. What do you got going on currently?
Well, aside from work, gonna be messing with some or 3D print stuff. Covering the fact that Hasbro doesn't like money. That's a little fun jab. Discontinuing lines that they purchased 5 years ago so that they can be like, yeah, we're not making nothing now. We don't want your money.
Mm-hmm.
Franchise is dead. We killed it. Thank you very much.
Mike, drop. Don't drop me.
Yep. dropped mic. But yeah, so fun. Other than that, just working on some customized figures and trying to 3D print a Megatron. And
like you do.
Yep, like I do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website where you can comment, like, listen, all that good stuff. It's geekcastradio.com. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. We are on all the podcatching platforms. Well, most of them, at least for this show. Follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio, the network @ITSRadio2009, all one word for the show. I am @TF2, and Mike, what is your Twitter?
@SCP21.
Become a fan on Facebook, go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadio Network, and also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Join us next time, as I said, when potentially my old buddy Sean, aka Mr. I'm Old Schools, drops by, as we will be talking about Need for Speed from 2014, which is its 10 years old this year, or it might be something else. I don't know yet. We'll have to wait and see what that, how that plays out and whatever. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Steve Megatron
saying
what? You'll hear back from us in the studio soon. Yes.